notice that high note there on that last line? Did you get that, Jeanette? Oh, good. I tried it.
Thank you, Sherry.
I love that song. These hymns that we try to sing are worshipful, God-honoring, glorifying the God. Try to get rid of the flesh. No show of flesh, you know, and all this that you see going on today. Away with that. God alone is to be exalted, and He's exalted more by the message, by the truth declared, than our goings on, you know, of the flesh. God is not worshipped with men's hands, the Scripture said. But He is worshipped in spirit and in truth. So we sing songs that are God-honoring, glorifying, and the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to John 13 now. The Gospel of John 13. I'm going to read one verse in John 13. I don't normally take a text, or that is, a single verse, and expound upon it, but this is one that I have often quoted and thought about. And it's amazing what the Lord says in so few words. Chapter 13 of John, verse 13. Speaking to His disciples, He says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." 14 words, 13 one-syllable words. 1 two-syllable word. The Lord, isn't that wisdom to be able to say profound things in a simple way? Oh, what all He said here. "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." Now in this, I see two things. I see an order by our Lord, or a way in which we are to address Him. He tells us here the way in which we are to address Him. An order of address. If you're taking notes, an order of address. And secondly, a declaration of who He is and what He has done. Are you with me? All right, an order of address. He says to His disciples, He is talking to His disciples, and He says to them, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well." His disciples, that's what they called Him. And He acknowledged that. He's stating a fact here. "Ye call me Master and Lord." That's what they called Him. What are we to call the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what. He has three names. And without all three of them, He's incomplete. He has a title, He has a name. And he has three names. How are His disciples to refer to Him? What should we call Him? Well, He said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say well." He says, that's well. That's what you should say. That's how you should call me, Master and Lord. Now, you will never read in this book, you will never read in the Gospels of the disciples approaching the Lord and saying, "Jesus, would you, Jesus, never, not one time will you ever hear the disciples call Him Jesus. Now, isn't that significant? He said, and I'm going to wear this verse out, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." They referred to one another as John and James and Peter and Thomas. James, John, Peter, would you go get that? John? Never. Jesus, would you? Never. They called Him Master and Lord. Now the enemies of the Lord said Jesus. This Jesus, they said. As for this Jesus. Now I'm not, why should we call him Master and Lord? He said, because so I am. That's what he is. That's what we call it. Now I'm not making a play on words here. I'm not splitting theological hairs here, and I'm not trying to I'm not nitpicking. I'm really not. This is our Lord said this, did he not? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well. I want to say well, don't you? All right, I'm not nitpicking. I'm not splitting hairs here. But I believe this is scriptural. I know it is. This is what our Lord said. And it's God-honoring. Our whole soul, our chief design in everything, whether we eat or drink, is the glory of our Lord, is it not? So, in the way we address Him in the way which gives Him the most glory and honor. That's most respectful. And this is very instructive, I think. We're taught from the beginning. All of us are taught from the beginning. The Lord said in the beginning, honor thy father and thy mother. And that means, in every respect, that means obey your parents. It means address them as such. How do you speak of your parents? What do you call your parents? You have always, all your life, if you're a respectful child, you have always, all your life, called your father or dad, right? Or mom or mother. You never referred to them. Never. You've never heard me, except introducing him in a third person as a pastor, Pastor Henry Mahan. But you never hear me in private or at any other times say, Henry said that. I had a good time with Henry and Doris the other day. That's disrespectful, isn't it? We always refer to them as our parents. And even we're taught to respect our elders, not just our parents. We're taught from little children to respect our elders. We're to address our elders as sir, are we not? Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. The Stoniker children were taught so well this, to respect elders and call them Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, until that person gave them permission to call them by their first name. I remember doing that. I've known them for years. And I remember telling them, you can call me Paul. Well, they still, to this day, call me Mr. Paul. Well, that's fine. That's fine. It shows respect on their part. Does it not? That's a good thing. We were taught from a young age to respect our elders. Sir? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I love that. I told you that ad at the Virginia Military Academy. They have an ad in Southern Living Magazine that says this. We teach all of our cadets a foreign language. Yes, sir. And yes, ma'am. That's a foreign language today, is it not? Well, so it is a foreign language to refer to the King of Heaven as Lord and Christ. It's so foreign to this generation, is it not? And it's the fault lies right here in this pulpit with these preachers. They're on a first-name basis with the Lord of Glory. Arthur Pink said that started in this Arminian, this altar call generation, the 1900s, 20th century. The high King of Heaven now, he's king. Now more than ever, listen to me, now more than ever, this is one of the distinguishing marks of God's true people. Now more than ever, this is one of the distinguishing marks of those that really fear his name. David said, unite our hearts to fear thy name. He said, you that make mention of the Lord, make mention, his name is exalted. Isaiah said that. His name is to be exalted. Now more than ever, when men are dragging his name down
and using His name in such a careless, flippant, irreverent, familiar, buddy-buddy way. Now more than ever, God's people, God-fearing people, those who truly have His honor and His glory at mind, now more than ever, we need to make mention His name is to be exalted, to be feared. You read through the psalm. Did you read that with me? The name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. All through the psalm, David was a man after God's own heart. And he, throughout the psalm, speaks of God's holy and terrible and dreadful name. Now more than ever. He said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well. So I am." And we seek His honor and glory. If we truly respect our great elder, is He not the elder, the great elder, our elder brother? If we truly respect Him, we say unto Him, "Sir." We call Him Lord. Call Him Lord. Now, listen to me. I know this, that there are many, have been many well-meaning people, even now perhaps there are some well-meaning people. There have been noted preachers of old. I've got all the books, people. I've read these books. I've got all these old Puritans. And there's even some noted preachers of old who were in a habit of calling Him Jesus, 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 Jesus. I find myself, when I pick up some of those things, the devotionals and start reading sermons by a fellow, and he keeps saying Jesus to Jesus, Jesus, I close it up. I can't take that anymore. I'm not writing people off like that. I'm not. But what I'm trying to say is that even though noted men did that, it doesn't make it right. If John Gale says Jesus, 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 he's wrong. The Lord said, "You call me Master and Lord," to His disciples. That's all they ever called Him, Master, Lord. He said, "You say well, that's what I am." And no matter who it is, an angel from heaven call Him Jesus. No, sir, He's the Lord, Jesus Christ. At the birth of the Christ child, and people will bring up arguments like this. At the birth of the Christ child, the angels appeared to Joseph and said what? Said, "Call His name Jesus." Did he mean that that's what we're supposed to refer to Him as? No, he was designating the name of that child. That child is to be born. It had to be given a name. It had to be given a human, an earthly name. The old writers call it His name of humiliation. Right, Ed? His name of humiliation. In other words, the Word was made flesh. The God of glory took on Himself the form of a servant. He humbled Himself and was found in the fashion of a man. He humbled Himself. God of glory, whom angels pray, humbled Himself and became made of a woman, made under the law. And the angel said, "We got to give Him, this is His name." God named Him. But that's His earthly name. His name of humiliation. His manhood. The name of His manhood. Jesus. Call His name Jesus. And you know, when we use that name, and we do use that name, and we glorify that name, and we love that name, but we honor Him. When we say that name, we know what it means, and we're honoring Him. Jesus means Savior. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Call His name Jesus. It means Savior. For, why did He call Him Jesus? Because that's what He was. He came to be a Savior. For He, did He do it? Yes, He shall save His people. He did it. That's why He's got that name. He did it. He shall save who? Whoever let it? His people. Thine are mine, mine are thine. All thou hast given me, I've lost nothing. When we say the name Jesus, we mean it. We glorify Him. His name is Jesus. That means Savior, because that's just what He did. He saved His people from their sin. He didn't try to. He didn't put out a down payment. He didn't make an attempt. He made an atonement. All right. That name is blessed, but that's not the name that we're told to refer to Him as. The angel gave, through God gave the angel orders to name that child, that boy, that child, Jesus. For the suffering, Hebrews says this, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, he said. That's why he, Hebrews 2:9 says, we see Jesus. Well, go over there, I want you to look at it, all right? In the book of Hebrews, you'll find the name Jesus quite often. It's significant that we don't know who the author is. You know what? We don't really know. We think it's Paul, but the name's not written there. I'll tell you who it is. It's the Holy Spirit. But this is, it just really just occurred to me. It's significant that there's not a man's name attached to this book. And the name Jesus is used quite often throughout this book. Well, who's using the name? The Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is. Look at Hebrews 2:9. It says, we see Jesus. We've seen a man. We saw a man. That's all they saw was a man. Jesus, right? Made a little lower than the angels. Bound to this earth like man, me and I. Why? For the suffering of death. See, God can't die. So God became a man in order to die. That's why He came. For this hour I came, He said. For the suffering of death. But now, He said, we see Him crowned with glory and honor. That by the grace of God, He should take death for every man. That word man is really not in the original at all. It's not even there. It's talking about sons. For verse 10, it says, it became Him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory. The captain of their salvation. So we see Jesus. And throughout the book of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit is referring to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus. Because it's all about, that book is about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there was a man that walked this earth who was our high priest. Who took His own blood into the Holy of Holies and so forth. That's what this whole book of Hebrews is about. We saw God become a man. His name was Jesus. Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The man. That man who represented us. That man. There's a man in glory. But now wait a minute. By virtue of all He did, the writer here says, we see Him now crowned with glory. He earned the right. He earned a title by what He did. He earned a title. What is it? Lord. So now, from now on, from then on, we refer to Him as the Lord Jesus. Mr. Paul. Fluid on that. Buddy, we better call Him the Lord Jesus, hadn't we? The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not splitting hairs here. The Lord said, again, you call Me Master and Lord, and you say well. Anybody that doesn't is not saying well. What folly, what ignorance and pride in mere mortal men to give more recognition and honor and titles to worms, to men, rather than the Lord Himself. Call Him by His name of humiliation. Give titles, recognition, and honor to mere worms, and yet call the Lord of heaven and earth Jesus. What folly, what ignorance, what pride, huh? You call Me Master and Lord. His disciples do. And you say, well, for so I am. He is. Look over at Job, the book of Job with me. Book of Job, chapter 32. Job is right before the book of Psalms. Now, a young man named Elihu was, at this time, God's spokesman.
Elihu was a young man, and he sat and listened to Job and three friends talk. He said that. He said, age should speak. Gray hair should teach wisdom. And he sat back quietly and listened as the old men spake. But they didn't speak what was right. And Elihu said, I can't take it any longer. And he had to speak up. And he spoke wisely here. Look at Job 32, verse 21. He says, Elihu said, this is under inspiration of God's Spirit. He says, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. In other words, bow and scrape to any mortal man. Don't let me do that. Neither let me, verse 21, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. I know not to give flattering titles, and so doing my Maker would soon take me away. It would be comical if it wasn't so blasphemous how people insist on being called doctor and reverend and so forth, wouldn't it? It'd be comical if it weren't so blasphemous. You've heard it quoted, Psalm 111, verse 9. Holy and reverend is His name, God's name. He's the only one who deserves the title reverend. You've heard that. It's true. But men and even women love titles. Doctor so-and-so, reverend so-and-so, bishop so-and-so. I saw an ad recently. Like I said, if it wasn't so blasphemous, it'd be common. His man, his wife, and that's a very... Very appealing thing to the modern people, that a man and his wife are kind of co-pastors, so to speak. And they had this big billboard up there advertising families, family, family, everything, family church, family church, family church. Anyway, they had a picture of him and his wife sitting there, and he was bishop so-and-so, and she's first lady so-and-so. You know he's the first lady, did you? First lady. Wow. Bishop so-and-so. Call me so-and-so. Elihu said, I'm not going to give flattering titles to the men. Call no man your father. You know what our Lord said? Call no man your father. Meaning, religious, in the religious sense that people call these fellows father. They're not my father. They're not anybody's father. They've never fathered anybody but illegitimate children. Don't call anybody mother so-and-so. I've got one mother named Doris. Not some little self-righteous woman dressed in a black robe. Don't call any man. Our Lord said that. Call no man father. He said, call no man rabbi. Be ye not called rabbi. You've got one master, even Christ, he said. He said the Pharisees loved these titles. They loved to be called rabbi. He said, you call me rabbi. That's what the word master is, teacher. You call me master. That's what I am. You do well. Call me that. Don't call these people that, these men that. The disciples one time, Paul and Barnabas, went into a town and healed a man who was sitting at the gate, remember? And the people saw it, and it says all the people came running together, crying out, the gods are among us. Where was that? Was that Ephesus? They cried out when Paul and Barnabas healed, the Lord through them, healed this man, and they all started saying, the gods are here. Gods have come down from heaven. Okay, Paul, now's your time to set up popery. Now's just the time. You can be the Pope, Paul. Pope Paul. You can be the first one. You can be the Pope, and everybody will bow to you. What did Paul say? Now, this is God's man. What did he say? He said, don't do that. They both ripped their cloak. Don't do that. We're just men like you are. It's the Lord that's done this. We haven't done anything. John on the Isle of Patmos,
He was so overcome with what he saw. There was an angel that appeared to John and revealed all these things to John, gave him these revelations, an angel of the Lord. And John was so overcome, the angel was a glorious being. He was glorious, beautiful. And John fell at his feet to worship him. Remember? Being a man that he was, so overcome by the beauty of this person and the glory and his voice and so forth, he fell at his feet to worship him. What did the angel say? Don't do that. I'm of your brethren and the prophets. See that you do it not. Worship God. Worship God. Him and Him alone you're to worship. You call me Master and Lord. You say, well. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, when men came and bowed to Him, and they did quite often, didn't they? Those who knew Him. The leper came running and fell at His feet and worshipped Him, saying, Lord. What did the Lord say? He allowed him to worship. He was doing well. That's who he is. Thomas. Thomas said, fell at his feet, my Lord and my God. Thomas said, my God, didn't he? He called him God. What did Christ say? He allowed him to call him God because that's who he is. You call me Master and Lord. You say, well, I am. He's the only one. Thou shalt the Lord God said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou worship. And there's a whole denomination out there that's going door to door to deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. They're not being witnesses of Jehovah. They're blaspheming Jehovah. They're being false witnesses. Just like those false witnesses of old against Christ, they are anti-Christ. The Lord allowed men to bow to Him and call Him God. Why? Because so He is. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. That's who He is. And anybody that doesn't preach this is a liar. I don't care how close they come, they're a liar. Right, Ed? All right. Now that's how we're to address him. Any doubts? Any questions? Does the Lord make it perfectly clear what we're to call him? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, that's what I am. His disciples who fear him, who reverence him, call him Master and Lord. All right. That's the order of address. Now here's what he said. Here's the declaration of what he is. He said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. I am Master and Lord. Now the word Master here, excuse me, the word Master means this, means teacher. It means instructor. It means doctor. They had doctors and lawyers back then. That's like they do now. A master was one who had these credentials. The highest credentials possible. The highest you can go in education now is to get your doctorate. And what you have become is a master. You think you have become a master of that subject. Now, once again, how ignorant human beings are to think that they've ever mastered anything. Mortal men think they're masters of various subjects. Let me remind you that just 150 years ago, doctors who were highly esteemed among men, doctors would bleed people to death. You got something wrong with it. Well, get that blood out of it. Right? Robin? Now, these were respected men. He knows what he's doing. Don't question the doctor. He's a doctor. What are we going to do, doctor? We're going to cut his throat and make him well. Whatever you say. Huh? Our doctor.
cure, the common cold, the most common thing known to man, and not going to find a cure for with all of their technology. If any man thinks he knows anything, the Scripture says, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Doctors, master. Master means an authority on a subject. He said, you call me master. That's what I am. Don't go asking these fellas. They don't know. They don't know nothing. But you come to me, I know everything. I am wisdom personified. You call me master, the authority on every subject, because that's what I am. You call me doctor, that's what I am. The Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom personified. He is the authority on every subject. Why? Take the root word of authority. What have you got? What's the root word of the word authority? Author. On every subject, He authored it. If you want to know something about something a fellow's created, ask Him. Christ is the one who authored all this. The author and finisher. Christ is the architect of the world, the universe, the conceiver, the designer, the creator. People, the Lord doesn't have an opinion. What He says is it. His word is not just the final word, it's the only word on the subject. He's the authority on every. You call me master, that's what I am. I just glory in what it must have been like for the disciples every day, every waking moment of their lives, walking with God in the flesh. Everything He said, everything that came out of His mouth was, they were like little babies. Everything He said was just a revelation. We didn't know that. Well, I didn't know that. For 3.5 years, everything He said, everything He did was an absolute revelation to them. These were just old fishermen. And the Scripture says that everything that He said or did was written in books. The world couldn't contain the books. So for 3.5 years, for 24/7, He was talking to His disciples about what? Who knows? Quantum physics, maybe. He wrote the book. You call me master. I am. Ask me something. There's a lot of men on this earth who think they're authorities, you know. And you get around them and they know everything. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did know everything. He did. And the wonderful thing about it is that He didn't... He taught them and instructed them, though they were so ignorant. Everything He said to them was a brand new... They didn't know anything. They didn't know anything. And yet He spoke to them not condescendingly, not obnoxiously. You know what I'm trying to say? It was very compassionately, very kindly. I wish I had that. There's some who have that. Our friend Alan Jellett. You know Alan Jellett? He's been here. Now, people, he is a rocket scientist. He is a rocket scientist. He's a nuclear scientist. We laugh about that. So he ain't no rocket scientist. Well, Alan is. Now, what am I? Let me tell you my education. I was 12 years at Paul G. Blazer High School. You know where Paul G. Blazer? No, you don't? Well, anyway, 12 years of that. I went to ACC. You know where ACC is? You don't know ACC? Ashland Community College. I took 2 classes in English. English 101 and 102. That's it. Oh, I took a Spanish class at BWCC. You know where BWCC is? That ain't no big deal. I took a Spanish class. About failed it. It was hard. That's it. Old Brother Allen, he sits and talks to me like I actually know something. He really does. He sits and talks to me. Never, doesn't he, man? He, He's so down to earth. That's the way the Lord was with his disciples. They didn't know anything. Peter was all the time popping off one of them. Can't you hear him talking around the fire stand? They're sitting around the fire and he's telling something that he'd done or knows. And the Lord's listening to him. He didn't upbraid him. He didn't call him down. He didn't say, Peter, you don't know nothing. No, he didn't do that. He's compassionate. He knows our frame. Well, he said, you call me master. That is the authority on the subject because that's what I am. And we have the privilege, the blessed privilege, a blessing of going straight to the source. That Christ himself asked me anything. We call him master. You say well. You say well. And you know, we don't really consult men on things. We should, spiritual thing per se. Only those men, we should only listen to and consult those men who are merely repeating what the Lord Jesus Christ has already said. Let me repeat that. We only consult, in regards to spiritual matter, we only consult and listen to men who are merely repeating what Jesus Christ said. Not what they think, not what so-and-so. Oh, I have an opinion. No, I'm not interested. What did the Lord say about it? Now that's all we are interested in. He's the master. We have one great teacher. All right, he says, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. What's Lord mean? It means, in one word, controller. I looked it up in Webster's Dictionary. Just a simple Webster's definition. The word Lord in the first chief definition means controller. He says, you call me Lord, for so I am. Now, we don't draw near with our lips. There's a world of people out there saying, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Lip service. When their hearts are far from believing that. When their preachers are far from preaching it. We don't just say it, we define it. When we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being Lord, we mean He is in absolute control of everything, down to the particle of dust in the sunbeam. That it lands exactly where He predetermined for it to go. Oh, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. It's so. I can't understand that. Of course you can. God's as high above us as the heavens are the earth. His ways. Past finding out, Job said. If He weren't like that, He wouldn't be God. If God wasn't incomprehensible, He'd be a man like us. Comprehensible. But He's incomprehensible. He's unfathomable. You say that word. Try it. The Scripture just says He's high. High. We don't just give Him lip service. When we say, call Him Lord, we mean it. He's controller. Always has been, always will be. We don't make Him Lord. No. That's utter blasphemy. Nothing I despise more than that. That's modern Arminian altar call and telling people to make, won't you make Jesus Lord? Psalm 2 says, God said, I will declare the decree. This is my son, the king. I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion. God hath made, the scripture says in Acts 2, God hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Men don't make Him Lord. He's not voted in. He's appointed by God Himself. Do we allow George Bush to be our president? Now that he is, do we allow him? Those of you that voted against him, I've heard people say that. They say, he's not my president. Oh, yes, he is. Try to break his laws then. He ain't my friend. I didn't vote for him. Yes, he is, whether you like it or not. And so is Jesus Christ. He's Lord. whether men acknowledge it or not. And I tell you what, someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But you say, His disciple, right now, by His mercy and His grace, that's what they call Him and that's what they believe, that He is indeed Lord. How so? How is He Lord? Oh, Lord means all. Controller over all things. Absolute, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D means controller of all things. Listen to this. He's Lord over principalities and powers. Listen as I quote this to you. Colossians 1. By Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head. Everything is under His absolute dominion and authority and control. Everything. There's not one single independent creature, be it angel or devil or man, out from under the control of the Lord. He said, you call Me Lord, that's what I am. Lord over angels. That all the angels, Hebrews 1 says, bow to Him. He's Lord over devils. When He walked this planet, though men didn't recognize the Lord, the devils did, didn't they? The devils did. They said, the devils came and said, we know who You are, Thou Son of the Highest, Son of God. And they said, they acknowledged that they answered to Him. They said, are You come to torment us before it's time? They knew they were under His dominion and His control. They knew that. And they said, bid us, would You allow us to go into those swine? Because You control all things. You say go and something goes. They said, would You let us go in these pigs? Go. Devils did His bidding. He's Lord. That's what it means. I'm defining what it means. He's Lord. He's Lord over devils. He's Lord over the elements. The sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, the ocean. Oh, I love the stories of the Lord walking this planet, coming into His creation. Don't you, Nancy? Walking on water. He's not subject to gravity. He made it. Oh, in that boat, the waves crashing over that boat, you know, disciples scared to death. This was a nor'easter. This was the big one. This is the perfect storm. They were going down. Who sent that storm? The Lord did. And He's sleeping. He's not worried about a little water. He's sleeping in the back of the boat. He sent the storm to scare them to death. To show them His power. They went and woke Him up. He said, why are you so little faith? Walked out on the bow of that ship, it's tossing and turning, waves crashing on, said, lay down! And the ocean laid down like a farm pond. The elements knew His bidding. And the disciples saw this. We've never seen anything like this, they said. The elements, He's Lord. Hurricane. Who sends a hurricane? God does it. The Lord Jesus Christ does it. Meteorologists say. Well, it's over here. It's going to hit here. But they don't have a clue where it's going to hit until it's getting real close. Well, we know now it's going to hit. Why? Because it's wind driven. Everything, weather is controlled by the wind. And isn't that a sign of God's sovereignty? The wind bloweth where it listeth. You can't tell the sound there. You don't know where the wind's going to blow. He's Lord over the elements. Still the ocean. Lord over the animals on this earth. Came to this earth, a dove flew on His shoulder. Out in the boat one day, the disciples hadn't caught one fish. He said, throw your net right over there. Lord, that's when they said, Master, Teacher. Stan, they started out mostly calling Him Master, Teacher. Then as it progressed, Lord, 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 Lord. They finally started realizing who you really is, and they called him Lord. They said, Master, now, you may know something about, theology, but we're fishermen. We toil all night. We know these waters like the back of our hands. I didn't fish here. James said, John and I and our dad have been fishing here all our lives. We know every fish by name. Nevertheless, that's your word. We'll throw it out there. They threw it out. And each fish was jumping into that net. So many, they couldn't get them in the boat, and the boat started to sink. That's when those boys threw up their hands and said, this is the Lord. I mean, he's Lord over the ocean. Fish, don't run. Next time we go fishing. And don't catch any. It's the Lord's will. He's the Lord. Lord over the animals. Lord over mankind. You know, mankind will grant the things I've just said. He's Lord over angels and devils and elements and animals and fish and all that. But not, oh, no, wait a minute. Man is a free creature, independent creature. Oh, is he? Oh, is he now? Show me an example in the Scripture. Show me one example in the Scripture of anybody who's acting independently of the Lord's purpose and will. Anybody. He had some enemies like Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, you know. Most powerful man in religion of that day. Saul of Tarsus. He was going to go and hail people to jail. Apprehend men, women, and children for believing this Jesus. They don't believe it's Jesus. Saul of Tarsus. Riding his high horse. You know the story. Riding his high horse into town. And the Lord smote him down to the ground. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, gonna get these Jesus followers. And the Lord smote him down to the ground, into the dust, struck him blind. And he whimpered like a puppy. The mighty Saul of Tarsus whimpered like a puppy. Who are you? I'm Jesus. You thought I was just a man, didn't you? I'm Jesus. Yes, I'm the Lord. He said, Lord. Isn't that what Paul called him? Lord. What will you have me to do? He didn't know the Lord up to that point, but now he knows the one that knocked him off his high horse is the Lord. The Lord said, it's hard to kick against the pricks. He's Lord over mankind. The lot, Scripture says, is cast into the lap. Men and women and young people do what they think they want to do and will to do, don't they? The lot is cast into the lap. But what does it say? Can you quote the rest of it? The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. We're going to take, and the chief example of that is men and devils, Margaret, men and devils got a hold of Jesus. We're going to get him. We're going to do away with him now. The devil, listen, the devil is not omniscient. People, he doesn't know what's going to happen in the next minute. That's right. Sometimes we give him more power than he really has. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know. He said, I'm going to do away with this Jesus. I'm going to kill him and do away with him. He crushed his own head. You with me? Genesis 3:15, the serpent shall bruise his heel, but he'll crush his head. The serpent said, I've got him now. Now we'll kill him and do away with this Son of God. What he did was fulfill God's purpose in releasing his people from the captivity of Satan himself. He opened a jail cell to all this. He crushed his own power. Satan crushed his own power. He did exactly what the Lord determined to do. Men took with wicked hands and crucified the Lord of glory, but they did what God purposed to do. That's a cheap example, is it not? He's Lord. He's Lord over salvation. He's Lord over salvation. He's of the Lord. He decides who gets this salvation. We talked about that all Sunday morning, didn't we? It's of the Lord's mercies. It's up to Him. He said, I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. Show mercy. Salvation's of the Lord. He's not under obligation to save anybody. He just saves whom He will, doesn't He? He said, the Most High ruleth among the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will. Whomsoever He will. The Lord is Lord of salvation. He's Lord over His church. Church, we take... talking to somebody Sunday morning, and I'm going to quit with this. The thing that most rejoices our heart, the thing we never grow tired of, is hearing our God exalted and glorified. You can't preach God too softly. This is the thing, too, that gives all His people so much comfort. You know, isn't it? And this is the distinguishing. This is what distinguishes the true from the false. God's people really believe that He is absolute controller of all things. And that gives them absolute peace. Peace. The Lord. He's the Lord. And I never grow tired of preaching it. And I never grow tired of hearing it. I hear men preach on God's sovereignty and Christ's sovereignty, the Spirit's sovereignty. I have yet to grow tired of that after several years. I never grow tired of it. It still causes my heart to skip. Ah, boy. But I said a moment ago that our Lord came to this earth for the suffering of obedience, for obedience of death, for suffering. And yet He never, I love this, and I'm going to quit. He never set aside His sovereignty. He never did. He never did set aside His sovereignty completely. I love those displays of His, even while a man. And this is what confused people then and now. You know, all they see is Jesus. But anyway, He never set aside His sovereignty, and He often displayed it in spite of seeming weakness, in spite of His weakness. It seemed He had weakness. He would display His sovereignty at times. He was hungry one time. He was hungry walking along. He was hungry. He came up to a fig tree expecting to find fruit there. It was time to have fruit on it. There was no fruit on the fig tree. What did He do? Wilted that tree. He said, you'll never have fruit on you from here on. Well, you try that. I try to get trees to live. I can't. They all die on me. And He killed that tree because it didn't have fruit on it. Just by word. He was attacked by a mob all the time, everywhere he went. For the last 3.5 years of his life here, he was attacked. You've read the story. Everywhere he preached, people would get angry at him. And they would, a mob scene develop. And they swoop down on him. And he says he just passed through the midst. 500, 700, 800, 1,000 people. Get it! You got it! Can't all of you get one fella? No, He's the Lord. He said, no man taketh my life for me. He said, I lay it down. I decide when I lay it down. You can't touch me. And neither can anything touch you, believer, unless God orders it. He's Lord. They did apprehend Him, didn't they? We love this story, don't we, Jay? They finally did apprehend Him. But not until He showed one more time. In the garden, remember? He was in the garden. All His disciples were asleep. Here came this mob with sticks and stones and swords. A whole mob of angry people going to get Him now. The disciples back there asleep. The Lord wasn't sleeping. He didn't sleep for 3 days before he went to Calvary. The Lord was waiting on them. Not running, waiting. And here they came, and he walked out to meet them and faced that whole angry mob. Who do you see? Who are you looking for? And they said, and it's kind of dark, you know. All those, they all look similar in the dark. And they said, Jesus. He said, I am. That name that only God has. I am. What does it say happened? I said, they all fell back. I mean, that whole crowd hit the dust. One last display. You can't take me unless I decide. He's Lord. And they got up off the ground, and then he put his hand out there. Okay. It's time. That's my God. That's my Jesus Christ. Is that yours? He's not in our hands. Never has been in anybody's hands. Never will be. He's Lord. He said, you call me Master and Lord, you say well. That's what I am. Final word. Okay. Stand with me. Our Lord and our God, we do bow before your holy and sovereign person and acknowledge that thou art God. Beside thee there's none else. Who is a God like unto thee? We believe from the heart and bow in the heart to your absolute lordship. And we thank you that it is so. We're in your hands. Our salvation, everything that pertaineth to us is in thy sovereign power. How we thank you. This gives us peace. This gives us rest and comfort. The Lord, shall not the judge of the earth do right. You always have, always will. Thank you for revealing yourself to us, the true and living God, and Christ the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.